The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic to cosplay to Schitt's Creek to Supernatural, and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. We are kicking off our two-part 80s celebration, which we may next year or some other time have to do this longer and include television and stuff. But we are going to kick it off with 80s movies. So this should be a lot of fun. I know my panelists are already wanting to kick me because I limited the number they could choose to 3 in certain categories. But we're going to do a speed round at the end. We're going to do like a speed round honorable mention thing, and I'll let people get out those other picks that may have not been mentioned, and we'll try not to steal each other's picks. So we'll see how that happens. They're like, that's not happening.
We need a buzzer or something.
Yeah. A buzzer. Yes. I need to get one of the soundboards installed and do that. You can't say that one. But before I have my panelists introduce themselves, just a quick housekeeping note that we are on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show for as little as $3 a month, head on over to the link in our show notes or head on over to our social media and click Linktree there. You'll help us continue to do all the amazing things we do, bring these, and then also our live streams, our special live streams that we do, a bunch of other things. You'll get some bonus content like our Lucifer episode, Freaks and Geeks. We're going to hopefully have some more stuff coming soon. And like I've been hyping, next year, you are going to get bonus episodes covering every single season of American Horror Story. So we're going to cover every season except for season 10. Well, we're going to cover the first half of season 10 for reasons which you all know. Okay, so I'm going to go around and have my panelists introduce themselves and tell me one thing they're into right now. Carla.
Hi. Well, this week I am super duper into Mark Anthony's music. I'm always into it, but I've just been extra into it this week, especially his 1995 album, Todo Su Tiempo, which is for me, like probably still up there with his best. It's like in my top 3 of his albums. It has like just so many amazing classics. And I'm looking at the song list right now, and every single song is the best. You know, it's like, oh, this song is the best. You know, you hear it come up in your playlist and you're like, oh, I love this song, it's the best song. And then another song comes up and you're like, oh, this song is even better than that one. And then yeah, so it's just nonstop hits on this album.
Awesome. Well, I love when we get music recommendations because it doesn't happen that often, but our next episode will be filled with music. And Judy, what are you into right now?
Hi, yeah, I'm Judy, and I am watching the Netflix live-action version of Cowboy Bebop. For anybody that doesn't know, it's based on an anime, and I live with two young men who love anime, and this has been their favorite anime forever, so they're like, they were so hyped to watch it, and we're definitely, it's fun, it's a lot of fun. I'm only about halfway through, so I can't give it a definitive, you know, this is the greatest thing ever, or this is terrible yet. But I'm enjoying it. The fight scenes are great. It's got some fun humor in it, and the world is kind of unique. It definitely gives me sort of like Firefly vibes because it's like cowboys in space. So
awesome. And shout out to friend of the pod, Jesse, who his first season was Sudden But Inevitable, was covering Firefly. And then their second season, they covered Cowboy Bebop. So go check that out. Check out his podcast. Check out the first season. And now they're doing movies. So check that out. And then I don't know what they're going to be doing for the next one. And Sasha, what are you into?
Well, you will be happy to know that I finished The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
Yay!
I know.
Yay!
Yep. So I finished it. I had to take a break for a little bit, but I did finish it today. And it was phenomenal. So I know I'm late to that game, but if you haven't seen it, see it. And it's funny because I know they hyped it as The Assassination of Gianni Versace, but it's really the Andrew Cunanan story. Because it's all how all the events that led up to it, which for me as a true crime buff was super spot on, fun, good times. So it was definitely enjoyable. I highly, highly recommend it.
Yay! And on a scale of 20 to 20, how good did you think Darren Criss was?
Like 27.
Yay!
Yeah, he blew me away. Right? Yeah, he blew me away because I knew him from Glee, which is a very different version of him. So the like happy beboppy, let's sing everything versus the, hey, I'm just gonna flat out bash your skull and it's fine. He was phenomenal. His acting was stellar, super creepy. There were several scenes where I was like, this makes me itchy. I don't like this. Make it stop. Just make it stop. So next on my list is American Horror Story 1984 for you, Aaron. So I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Sasha's making my whole day. Yes, yes. And it wouldn't be me if I didn't ask, how did you like Finn Wittrock in?
So
it's okay. It's the ongoing thing.
Your boyfriend did not have hair in that show. They kept showing it like very buzzed. I know that he was military, so it was kind of funny. He was good. He was good. I have no complaints about him. I mean, he's adorable. But I mean, Darren Criss, really.
Oh, I know. It's his whole show. It's his show.
It was phenomenal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes me so happy. And I just quickly want to say, because Sasha sent me one of the funniest DMs I've ever gotten when she had finished episode, when she'd started episode 4, which I think episode 4 and episode 8 are the best episodes of that. They're very creepy. Especially episode 8, I think, is really super, super creepy. And the episode 4 is just really sad too. And she sent me this message and she said, your one boyfriend just killed your other boyfriend with a hammer. brutally. Yeah, that was one of the funniest ones. But yes,
I didn't know how else to put it. I'm like, your one boyfriend murdered your other boyfriend. So like your boyfriend's having issues. Fix them.
That was funny. And we did cover American Crime Story. So go and listen to that. That was probably the most positive Ryan Murphy episode we did because, well, Ryan Murphy is not as involved in those as other things. So that's why they're good. And this is Erin, and what I'm into is speaking of true crime, Sasha, there is a true crime docuseries on HBO Max called Buried. Have you seen this yet, Sasha?
Oh, no, I have not.
You should see this also because it has a lot to do with mental health. And this is the story, true story, of Eileen Franklin, this was back in 1989, who suddenly, through recovered memories, she started remembering that she witnessed the rape and murder of her childhood best friend by her father. And her father went to trial. It's about that. The episodes switch back and forth between whether or not you believe that this is a true memory or not. Her father was a complete scumbag. There's no denying that. But it's just kind of just trying to decide if those are real or not. So that's on HBO Max. Really good. Only four episodes. If you love true crime, definitely, definitely watch it. Okay, so let's get into 80s movies. And let's see how many people are going to get mad at each other for stealing their choices. So I'm limiting it to 3. But like I said, we'll have a speed round at the end. So Carla, we're going to start with comedies. And you can include romantic comedies. Judy's leaving because she's already so worried.
She's already furious.
Judy's like, I don't even want to hear what Carla's going to say because I know.
She's gonna tickle mine and I don't want to hear it.
So Carla, what are your three, some of your favorite comedies, three of them?
Okay, I just want to start out that I was a child in the 80s. I did not have standards. That it should mean also that, you know, like, I've grown and I've learned stuff and I've become a more conscientious and aware person, but that doesn't take away the fact that these things are, like, just things that I love and that I can't seem to let go of, which is why I'm going to go ahead and start with Overboard, because Overboard is one of those movies that if I had never watched it before and I watch it now, I would be like, that is horrible. I can't believe that this man is basically gaslighting this woman and stealing her from her actual life and all of these horrible things. But back then it was just, like, really cute, just, like, adorable. And the kids were so adorable. They were so sweet. You just really fell in love with them. And Kurt Russell was a hottie and Goldie Hawn was a hottie. And so they're two hotties, often skimpily clad, making eyes at each other and just having this weird adventure. And I loved it so much. There were so many lines that I knew from it by heart. My sister and I were constantly saying them to each other, just out of context, you know, like when she's asking her butler, you know, was I really that horrible? And he imitates her. He says, Andrew, my earrings fell off between, what was it, like, whatever, something, something street and something, something street. Find them. And so we would constantly say to each other, find them. So, yeah. But it's, looking at it now, not the best movie. Like, so many just bad things in it. But it's still, I loved it. And I watched the remake recently. I'm not a big fan of remakes. But it did have Anna Faris and it had Eugenio Derbez, who is one of my favorite actors from Mexico and just in general. And they did their best. They did their best. It wasn't the same charm and magic from the kind of creepy way that they did it back in the 80s.
Is that the movie that they met on? Because they're together in real life. So is that
they are together? I'm not sure if that's the one that they met. So. I have no idea. Yeah,
okay. I don't know if it was or not, but yeah. And
but I just know that they're, like, their chemistry is enduring, and I love them. Please, God, please, if they ever break up, I swear, I don't know what I'll do. Please don't let. I'm gonna go light a candle to the patron saint of Hollywood marriages. Okay,
I know they're one of those just like with Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon as well.
That yeah, was another Tom one. Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, all of these yeah. ones that would be like, oh my gosh, no.
Exactly. Like, no. Another one is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. That it's a movie that it's just great fun, and it combines a lot of my favorite elements of 80s movies, which is that a lot of these movies seem to involve kids, but without making them seem like a chore to involve them. Like, I feel like a lot of movies more recently, they kind of treat kids like they have to be extra precocious and they have to be jaded and all of this. But the movies in the 80s that had kids, all of the kids were just kids. There wasn't some big need for them to be anything more than that. Another thing that I like about this is that it has that, you know, goofy, quirky science dad, which is my favorite kind of dad trope, you know, like, science dad is going to try to make your life easier, but he makes it more complicated by accident. Oops, science dad.
I also love Rick Moranis. Like,
I was just going to so say, yes. I had the biggest crush on Rick Moranis. Okay. Like, I loved Rick Moranis. Look, okay.
That tracks. And,
yes, it does. Because my crushes from movies in the 80s were like, Eugene Levy and Rick Moranis and Curtis Armstrong. So, you know, like, that's just me, all right? You can have your Tom Cruises and whatever. I'll be over here, like, just making googly eyes at Rick Moranis and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. okay, this is another one of those movies. And first of all, why is a child watching this movie? Second of all, whoa, there is so much going on in this movie. And third of all, I'll go back to why is a child watching this movie? And I blame my parents. And here is why, okay? In 1984, when we were still living in Mexico, my dad showed up with this magical contraption called a VCR. And so he plugged the VCR into the television and our lives were forever altered. And he brought with him like all of these tapes of movies that he wanted us to watch. He also brought some for my mom. And he had also recorded a bunch of TV shows because he wanted us to be exposed to English because, you know, he knew that nobody around us was speaking it. And also he wanted us to see Black people on the screen. So he recorded a lot of like Cosby Show and stuff like that. And like, that's what we watched a lot of. But in the movies that he included for mom that I ended up deciding, hey, I'm going to watch this too, was Trading Places. And Trading Places, while it is a hilarious romp, is also wildly inappropriate for a 7-8-year-old. Okay. And still, I loved it back then. I love it now. It is not the best movie, but it was like a solid comedy hit. And I loved it. And there was a lot more nudity than probably advisable for a child that age. A lot more like adult situations that I shouldn't be watching, but I did. And I'm still mostly okay. So, you know, I'm fine, everybody. I'm fine. You can, you know, like just can't go back in time and fix it anyway. But I loved it. I loved Eddie Murphy. I loved Dan Aykroyd. I thought that the comeuppance that they get on the old guys was just like the best, the sweetest, just mwah, chef's kiss moment. And it set up a high bar for me for how things should turn out for bad guys. You know, like they should have everything taken from them. They should be miserable. And the good guys should be out on a beach somewhere enjoying their hard-earned loot.
Clinking their champagne glasses.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Beer or whatever. Yeah.
It's, again, not the best movie. Definitely not a good movie for a child. Definitely not. But it has a big place in my heart.
Well, Overboard was on my long list, but you didn't take any other ones up. Amazing. And Judy, yours?
Yeah, this was a hard category because the 80s just had so many great comedies. And when I sat down to like, you know, kind of brainstorm and figure out what my favorites in all of the categories where I was talking to my sons about it, and, you know, I raised them on 80s movies. And they were like, well, the reason they were so great is because they were a lot of original ideas. You know, nowadays everything is kind of like either from a book, Marvel, can't even think of like, or a remake. Like it doesn't feel like the movies today are nearly as original. So yeah, I had this, this is a long list. I'm going to start with Back to the Future because it's just such a classic and it absolutely just set the bar for time travel movies. I mean, how many other time travel movies have either paid homage to this one or tried to do it as well? I just feel like they just did it so well. And Michael J. Fox was just one of those people that has that it. You know what I mean? You can't take mm-hmm. your eyes off him. He's just so, he just has it. I don't even know how to explain it, but you just want to watch him. He's just so much fun and just absorbs that screen. It's wonderful. There's a little bit of weird stuff. Like, you know, why was his best friend, you know, 50-year-old scientist? That's a little weird. And I don't know if you saw the Netflix does this, like the Movies That Made Us series, mm-hmm. and they did one about Back to the Future. And I remember one of the things that like shocked me about it is the original actor who was going to play him wasn't getting it because he was playing it as this tragedy. Mm-hmm. And when you really think about it, it's like, oh my God, it kind of is. Like this guy comes back to a life that he never lived. Like, everybody else around him knows, you know, lived an entire life that he didn't. He has no memory. He doesn't have the same memories that they do or anything. I'm like, wow, it really is a tragedy when you think about it that way. But yep. It's on my list because it. I just love it. It's so much fun.
The original actor was Eric Stoltz.
Yep.
Yes.
And yeah, it's like, yeah. But I can't even. Oh. Well, I can't imagine him having actually like completed the role. No thanks.
Yeah. There are clips out there that you can find of some of the clips of Eric Stoltz.
Apparently, some of the scenes that he did, like the back of him or whatever, made it in just a little bit.
Yeah. And Crispin Glover was really good friends with Eric Stoltz and was furious that happened. I mean, he was pissed. It kind of tainted his whole experience, I think, doing the rest of it. But yeah, there's also a great documentary on Hulu about the fandom surrounding Back to the Future. It's insane, the fandom. I mean, they do like their own conventions. That's why we're going to cover it at some point on this show. We have to. Plus, it's the movie that got me into movies. So yeah, so we definitely, yep. Yeah. So sorry, I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
The next one on my list, and this is kind of another nod to what Carla was talking about, is Goonies. The way that everybody is making these damn it faces. Sorry. Feel free to chime in with my discussion if you have something to say, because Goonies is so, so good. And it does that thing where it totally respects kids. You know, these kids are just... you know, they all have these unique personalities, and yeah, they're all a little over the top, but just so much fun and infinitely rewatchable. If I'm scrolling through the channels and it's on, I'm going to stop and I'm going to rewatch it, and I never get bored. Don't get me wrong, I might be on my phone a little here and there, but I never get tired of it. It's funny, it's clever, it's got a lot of heart, and you know, prime Steven Spielberg time, you know, like some of his best work there in the 80s.
And the Truffle Shuffle. Like the Truffle Shuffle. Come on. So iconic.
Yes.
And the, hey, you guys.
Absolutely. Yes. So many good things.
I have a Goonies t-shirt, and just every time I go out, somebody will like either just point at it and like, you know, give me the knowing look, like, hey, 80s person. Yes, 80s person. We recognize each other. Or we'll just say, that's the best movie. And I'll be like, I know.
It is. It is so good. Still to this day. So that one had to go on my top three. And I'm going to cheat a little bit here on number three and just kind of lop all of the Steve Martin stuff together. Because the 80s were just like prime Steve Martin time, and just like hit after hit after hit. I've always been a Steve Martin fan. If you haven't read his book, Born Standing Up, it's very good. Go read it. But yeah, I just loved all of his stuff in the 80s. But my favorite of all of those would have to be Roxanne. And he wrote it, didn't just start it. So that's kind of another great thing. But I just love it. Had like so much... It was funny, you know, it definitely had that Steve Martin goofy humor, but it had so much heart too, you know, and of course a good lesson of, you know, don't judge a book by its cover and all of that kind of stuff, based on Cyrano de Bergerac. But yeah, so like I said, Steve Martin, just hit after hit, love them all, but Roxanne was my favorite.
Great picks there. So yes. Sasha, did she take every single one?
No. Nice. I actually survived. Goonies was in my top three, so that one got swiped, but and Overboard was one of my alternates. So I'm good.
I feel like we're playing like a bingo kind of thing.
I really know.
Who's gonna be? Should have made like an 80s bingo card.
That would have been pretty awesome. Yeah, I should have done that. I'll have to do that for something we do. I don't know.
Right. So my number one comedy is gonna be Clue. Sorry, Aaron.
It's okay. I have a lot of alternates.
Just watching Aaron's face go, ah! Clue. It's one of those for me, and I agree with Carla, like, a lot of the movies you go, man, there's some problematic stuff in it right now. But my brain goes, I was a kid in the 80s, so it's just like ingrained and near and dear. And so when I saw like problematic tropes, I'm like, what problematic tropes? The 80s movies have no problematic tropes. What are you talking about? They're perfect. My heart is like, no, yeah. I know.
We're Gen X. We're tough. None of that stuff matters. Like, you know, just roll right off.
Right. So bad. But yeah, so Clue is at the top of my list. And it's just because I can, like Judy said, for Goonies, I can jump in at any point. It doesn't matter. I think my husband probably watches it like 4 or 5 times a year. I watch it a couple of times. Like, it's just a staple in our house, you know, and there's just great moments and quotes. And my favorite is, you know, flames, the heat and the flames, my head, you know, and the, when they're counting the bullets and the 1 + 2 + 3 = 1, they can't figure out how many bullets are in the gun. And it's just Tim Curry, everything about it. I love, I love that movie. Part of it is also, I think, because of that movie and playing games as a kid, Clue is one of my favorite board games. So for my birthday, my husband ordered me a custom Clue cake that was the board and had all the pieces. And we did a big Clue-themed birthday where everybody came as a character.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was super fun. I'll have to find the pictures and I'll throw them. If I can find the pictures from it, I'll throw them up on my Instagram so that, because that's how I have people find me. So Clue is my number one. Goonies was my second, but it got swiped. So we'll come back. Adventures in Babysitting. Oh, no.
It's like, no one's said this one yet. No one's
gonna I can, like,
eat it. I have so many more. Okay. I just, no.
Adventures in Babysitting for me was just hysterical and ridiculous and so over the top. Like, everything that happened, it was just like, well, that can't, how can it get possibly worse? And then you got the poor girl who's like, oh, look at the puppy, it's a rat. She doesn't have her glasses, you know. They find the mechanic and the little girl's convinced that he's Thor, like the whole thing. Adventures in Babysitting is just one of those, I just love it. It's just a fun romp. Okay, well, now I'm scared because I don't want to steal another one. Okay, I'll go with Who Framed Roger Rabbit because I know Aaron doesn't like.
Actually, I love that movie. It's on my long list. Sorry, go
ahead. So I like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Again, this is another one. My husband watches TV when he goes to bed and he'll put on movies. I'll wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and this will be playing. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then I can't go back to sleep because I have to watch it from wherever it is. But I love Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I love the mix of the animation and just the comedic timing that they do with all of it, with the live action and that. It was pretty, I think, cutting edgy for its time period to mix them like that. And I mean, it's Roger Rabbit and his gorgeous wife who loves him because he makes her laugh. And she's not bad. She's just drawn that way, which became a big line for everything.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So those are my top three. I'm sorry, Aaron. Do you want to kick me off the show now or do I get to add more movies later?
I'm like, I'm the last one. I'm the one who's going to have the most stolen.
Just right. Means you have good taste.
Thank you. Thank you. I tried to also put ones on here that I'm like, they're a little bit out there. So maybe they won't get stolen or forgotten in the whole mix.
That's why I had Adventures in Babysitting because I was like, nobody's going to remember that one.
That's why I had Adventures in Babysitting. But
our brain,
I have a couple oddballs on my alternate list. I'm interested to see if anybody brings them.
Right?
Well, one that I am shocked, beyond shocked. I put it on here. I'm like, Aaron, this is going to be stolen first round. I mean, by the first, by Carla. And then when Carla didn't say it, I'm like, Judy's going to say it. And then Sasha didn't say it. I was like, oh, wow. And that's Big with Tom Hanks. I mean, that's just, I mean, yes, there are a lot of problematic elements in the fact that a woman falls in love with a teenage boy, basically. I mean, that's problematic, you know, to a whole other level, but you forgive it because it's such a sweet movie and it shouldn't work.
What did we know back then?
Yes.
What did we know back then?
Yes.
funk.
And that
oh,
was
that scene was so funny. He's like, I went on top.
And Tom Hanks is so good in that movie. And, you know, that was a trope in the 80s, was those body swap movies, you know, there were tons of them. And this was the only one I think that actually worked out of those that like holds up still to this day. I mean, like it's still really good. It's really well done. Like I said, Tom Hanks is so, so good in this role because he gets it perfectly. You know, I think going ahead in time, I think Jennifer Garner is the only other one that's done this kind of role on the same level as Tom Hanks in 13 Going on 30. I think she captured the same kind of way, just female side. But yeah, I love Big, love that one so much. Just certain scenes in it just really hit me. And I know for me, when I was a kid watching it, I always wanted to grow up. I did not want to be a kid. I hated being a kid and I couldn't wait to be an adult. And so it was kind of like that for me. I'm like, I wish I could do that. And I had this thing of wanting to, you know, like the fashion in there that she would be wearing, like the suits she was wearing, all that stuff. I was like, oh, those are so cool. And some of the styling of like the loft, that was like my dream, was to live in like a huge loft downtown somewhere. So it was like spoke to a lot of that. It was just so much fun. I love that movie so much. And then I'll shout out another Tom Hanks movie that I'm also surprised didn't get taken. And that's Splash with Daryl Hannah, where Splash is. Where
that's on my list.
More importantly, with Eugene Levy.
Oh, yes. With Eugene, with Carla's boyfriend, Eugene Levy. I just forget that he was in that one until you said that. But
I can't believe you forgot. I mean, like, he was so dreamy. Goofy old science guy. Yeah. He's the bad guy, but who cares?
Yes.
Because he's Eugene Levy.
You definitely learn through doing this podcast who everybody's types are. And I think they kind of stay when you're a kid, it kind of, I mean, Michael J. Fox was my first celebrity crush. But even with that, I think that while we go on, we just kind of hold this same kind of thing. Kind of. I don't know. Everybody's looking at me like, whatever.
I think we do. Yes, your words
I've,
make
I've
sense.
I've gotten over my Tommy Lee crush.
Your Tommy Lee crush.
That was mine.
That was yours, yeah. Well, I had a lot, like, you know, Kiefer Sutherland.
The bad boy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Kiefer Sutherland was one. And Christian Slater was later 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And then I'm going to mention Twins. With Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the only Arnold Schwarzenegger movies I absolutely love. And I think Arnold Schwarzenegger is actually incredibly good in this movie. I think it's so funny. And I think Danny DeVito is great too, but it's just such a funny concept. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, you know, because it's so out of his wheelhouse, at least from what you knew him as, because he plays such a sweet, sweet, kind guy who just really just wants to be with his brother. And I don't, and it's such a silly concept that your twin, you know, you look so different, height different, look different, everything like that. But he was so sweet, his character, and he just wanted to embrace his brother that he lost, that it was just like, oh, maybe I do like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And then I watched other Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and I went, no, I do not like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Even Kindergarten Cop? Even True Lies?
Oh, I like True Lies. That's not true. I do like True Lies. And I like Terminator.
Terminator's on my list.
I'm not even an Arnold stan by any means, but like those are some movies I'm like, you got to give him those, okay? He's not a perfect man. He's not even necessarily a good man, but he made a couple good movies.
Well, I mean, like maybe I think what I'm thinking is I wasn't really big into like action stuff when I was younger, so for me it was like, oh, okay, this really is not my jam. Yeah, I mean Terminator 2 was actually like I think that's one of the most brilliant movies ever made, honestly. One of the most terrifying too, but yeah. Sorry all the Arnold Schwarzenegger fans that listen to this show. And to you too, Arnold, because I'm sure you listen as well. But...
Oh, totally. He sits in his mansion, just sitting there going, Eden, I do not agree with that take. Why is this Erden talking about dead in Greece again?
Okay, well, we're going to move on to dramas. And I don't know if this was as hard for everyone as comedies, but was it, Carla?
Not really. Like, 80s dramas? Just dramas in general. I'm not huge on drama movies. Drama movies. Because drama everything else, apparently, is fine by me. But of drama movies from the 80s, one that always sticks out for me is Cocoon. Because I thought that was a great movie. Like, I really loved the Erin's just sitting there laughing.
I have a story.
And she's
sorry.
Like, you should see her face. I'm like, what is wrong with Cocoon? It's a perfectly good movie. Like, what is the matter? Are you questioning my taste? Oh my god. But I watched it in the 80s. It was not traumatizing, so yay for that. And it really and, you know, you would think that just, you know, living in general and being in a multi-generational home, that I would already have, like, a more of an empathy for older people and aging and all of that. But it really took Cocoon to bring it home. The idea that, you know, as much as young people live with this idea of, like, I'm never going to die, and also the competing idea of, like, everybody dies, holy crap, that's an awful, awful reality to face. That just because you get older doesn't mean that it gets any less scary, the idea of dying. And I thought that Cocoon was a really beautiful, moving movie, and it really, and Erin's just sitting there, like, about to bust a gut, and I just,
sorry.
Feeling all of my emotions for this like 1980s classic, and she's like just about to bust a gut over Cocoon.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. I will move on then to Dirty Dancing, and I know, like, it's a musical. It's a bit of a romantic. It's more than a little bit of a romantic story, but it really is a drama. It's about a young girl who, this is her coming of age story, and this is how she's discovering the world. It just highlights so many things that I think a lot of movies even now don't necessarily really dive into in the way that Dirty Dancing did, where, yes, it's not like a super feminist movie, I guess, so to speak, because it does rely on her falling in love with the guy and on the guy bringing out this other side of her. But there is a lot of grit and independence to Baby. And she really learns to take charge of her own life to a point through experiencing this, you know, other side of the tracks kind of life for a little bit. And it was the scene where Johnny's friend gets very sick after the back alley abortion attempt. I had no idea what the hell was going on. I was like, does she have the flu? Like, why is she so sick? You know, like, and even though it's kind of spelled out in the movie, I had no idea. You know, I went to Catholic school all my life. Like, at the age that I was when the movie came out, and a few years later, I was like, I have no idea what's going on. You know, like, why are they crawling towards each other? It just looks ridiculous. You know, like, all of these, like, sexy things and all these grown up things, just way over my head. But that's the great thing with Dirty Dancing, is that if you watched it from back then to now, you're still picking up a lot of things, and you're still getting a new appreciation for a lot of the things that the movie presented even back then. Also, again, hot people falling in love, you know, it's a really good formula for me. That's, yeah, good. Love it.
I feel like it's a shame that they picked the name Dirty Dancing, because it made everybody think that it was just some silly teen dancing movie or something.
Right. But
But it absolutely wasn't, and it was about so much more.
Yeah, but it also made it seem like a taboo thing, where the taboo is, oh, it's a dirty movie about people being sexy and about, like, sexy things happening, and oh no, all of these, you know, it's going to corrupt the young minds. Okay, like, calm down, you know. Some young minds didn't even get it, so, you know, like, just, you know, chill.
Well, you do see his ass for, like, a split second. Sorry, I just remember when in the theaters when they showed that. Oh my gosh, you should have heard people in the theater. Because my mom didn't want me to see this movie because of that very thing. And then she went and saw it. Oh no, you can see it. So she took us to it. And people, when you saw his ass for 2 seconds, were like, what?
Like, they should just shut up and consider themselves lucky, okay? I mean, come on. And for my last one in this category, did you ever watch a film called Beaches? And then cry yourself to sleep all week? Because
every
I did.
Single time.
Yes. It's just weeping, open weeping, every time I've rewatched this movie. And I've rewatched it a million times. And I can't. No, there's nothing in the world that can stop me from just feeling like, when I watch it, I feel like once every few years, because I just never really get over it after I watch it. It's just, you want to talk about a drama like that? This is a drama. This one has just every heart pulling element. It has the cancer, and it has, like, you know, childhood friendship, and it has death, and it has water, which I guess makes people weepy. Like, there's something about, like dramatic movies, and there's always, like, an ocean or a lake, you know, like, I don't know, a creek, who knows? There's always, like, a body of water somewhere in these dramatic movies where you're just like, let's look at the ocean and weep. Okay, I guess we're doing that now. This is the part of the movie where we just weep at the ocean. But it also has an awesome soundtrack, and it's one that I would just play over and over and over again. So many songs that I, you know, still know by heart, like
the know song. You by
yeah.
Heart.
exactly. Yes, that's definitely one of them. O Industry, which is one of my favorite Bette Midler songs, and it's presented in, like, this little part where she's in a play, and it's supposed to be, like, a really bad play, but I'm like, the song is solid. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I used it for an art project once, about the effects of industrialization on the world, and it was a photography project, and I had it was a mixed art thing where I had, like, a tree branch and just, like, rotting and whatever, and you know, the effects of pollution. It was this whole thing. It was, you know, my art is very dramatic sometimes. Like, I've learned to kind of, like, tone it down. But, you know, early days, Carla in art was a mess. And, yeah, everything was, like, out there. But, yes, so those were my dramas.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you why I was laughing when you said Cocoon.
Yes, please do, because I don't want to be confused anymore.
So... And I wish I could find the tape. I used to make tapes all the time. Like, I'd pretend, like, you know, it was the acting thing in me. And I would make tapes and pretend like I was hosting, like, a show, like a radio show. Hey, I'm hosting a podcast. What do you know? And so I would be doing very dramatic things. And I would do this over at, like, my grandfather had this amazing sound system. And so if we would go over there for holidays, I would do that. And we're going to go to a movie as a family, like a bunch of us. And everyone's like, let's go see Cocoon. And I'm recording at the same time. And I'm like, wanted to see Back to the Future again or something like that. And I'm like, I don't want to see Cocoon. I, like, totally threw a fit on this recording.
That's hilarious.
I really, really need you to find it. Because I hate to hear young Aaron have a fit.
I don't want to see Cocoon. And then another one was Silverado, or was another one? I'm like, no, I don't want to see Silverado. So that's why I was laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
So sorry, interrupting your.
Sometimes those memories just give us the giggles, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for bringing that into my world. I am so much happier now. I'm a much more complete person having heard that.
You're welcome.
And Judy, did Carla steal any of your dramas?
Actually, she didn't. Great picks. I am a huge Beaches fan. Bette Midler is my all-time favorite celebrity, other than Misha Collins. I love her to death. So, I know. And I still listen to the Beaches soundtrack all the time. And again, cry every single time I watch the movie. Yeah. So,
yeah. Baby Mine, her version of Baby Mine is the one that I sing to my son.
Same.
And I've sung it. I've sung it to him since before he was born. Like, he was in the womb and I would sing it to him. And it's, you know, when he's particularly having a hard time falling asleep or just calming down, like, he'll ask me to sing it to him. And it's just now, he's 8 now, and just now he started to sing it along with me while I sing it. And he always has, like, the biggest smile on his face.
Oh my God, that brings such memories. I did the exact same thing. When my two were little, I'd sing a song to them every night, and my one son Aaron, his favorite was Baby Mine, and almost every night that's what he requested. So, memories. So yeah, my three favorite dramas were different. I had Amadeus as my top favorite. I think I stole one of Aaron's. Oh gosh, I love that movie. It's just so unique and so beautifully done. Yeah, it's definitely a made up story, you know, like Salieri was a real person, but they didn't necessarily have this, you know, contentious relationship where he caused Amadeus to go crazy or whatever. But yeah, I just thought the performances were incredible, the costumes, the just everything about that. And they weren't afraid to like make it a long movie because they're, you know, that's the story that they needed to tell. So there was actually, and I remember going to see it, and they actually had to, they put an intermission in the middle so you could like go out and get more popcorn. And I think that might've been like the first time I'd ever been to a movie where they actually had to put an intermission in because it was so long. But yeah, Amadeus, for anybody who's younger on this and hasn't seen it, go do so. You will thank us. It's a beautiful movie. Mm-hmm. Next one I have on my list is Dead Poets Society. This is a Robin Williams, he's another one who in the 80s and through the 90s, but I feel like especially in the 80s was just killing it, you know, with great movie after great movie after great movie. And he was so funny and so over the top and so full of life. But when he started to steer towards dramas and really show his dramatic acting chops, it was like, wow. He was so, so good in those. And there was just this immense vulnerability to him and intensity. I don't know. They just had one of our greatest losses was Robin Williams. But yeah, Dead Poets Society, and it had a really big impact on me because I always think back to, you know, that movie in particular, the lesson is embrace life and seize the day and live, you know, what do you say? Like suck the marrow out of life or something along those lines. And I really do try to live my life that way. And so that I felt like it had profound impact and inspiration on me. So Dead Poets Society for sure. And this last one, I'm tossed between a couple, but I am going to go with Glory. Glory is the story of the, and Denzel Washington, but it is the story of a Black battalion in the Civil War, and I'm not sure if they were called battalions or companies, I think company, and how horribly they were treated, and, you know, they didn't get uniforms and boots, and they were freezing and didn't have enough food and all this kind of stuff, but they were all also so dedicated, and so, you know, they wanted to be there to fight for this cause, and they ended up helping to turn the tide of the Civil War. And it's just this heartbreaking movie, but the performances across the board, there were just so many great performances in it. Again, Denzel Washington, and I can't think of the other guy's name, but Ferris Bueller.
Matthew Broderick.
Thank you. Broderick was amazing in it. Cary Elwes was in it. Cary Elwes played Matthew Broderick's best friend. And yeah, it was just, it's just so, so good. Go watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, we talked about that when we covered Denzel earlier.
Oh, okay.
You, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Judy took two of my dramas.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. It's okay. I have, this is actually the one I probably have the most for.
Most of.
Yeah. And Sasha.
I'm afraid I'm going to steal more of yours. So my number one drama is The Outsiders.
Gosh darn it. That's my number one.
I've read the book probably 15 times. I've seen the movie. Same. Countless. Oh my gosh. How did I
read
forget
all of her books? She's very problematic, but Essie Hinton, I read all of her books when I was, oh my God.
Yeah,
her and Judy same. Bloom. Same. Her and Judy Bloom were.
Oh. Yeah. So The Outsiders is my number one. A, because I love that story. B, because for those of you listening that don't already know this about me, I used to teach in a residential treatment center. And one of the stories I worked with those kids was The Outsiders. We would do that book with them. I would do that book with them every year we did that. And then when I taught in high school and I had kind of like a homeroom thing, we always did Outsider stuff because it's just very near and dear to me. And then my husband for Christmas one year got me a signed copy, S.E. Hinton signed copy of Outsiders. And then Ralph Macchio and C. Thomas Howell came to Denver Comic Con and I got them to sign it. And so I had them, I'll have to show it to you, Aaron, because I see your face, but I had him sign in gold Sharpie, stay gold over the page. He's like, you want me to write it over the words? I'm like, yes. And he's like, I don't like, it's over the words. I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. But it was funny because when I had them both sign, you know, because it was like, let's do it for Johnny, stay gold, like all the stuff. They were both like looking at the book, like, I haven't read this in so long. And I was like, and then, you know, somebody outed me as a teacher and they signed a, you know, the iconic picture that has all of them on it. Mm-hmm. They signed it to Miss Sasha's classroom. And they both signed it and said, let's do it for Johnny. So The Outsiders is very like, I love that whole story. I love the dynamic. It's just, I'm sorry, Aaron. I didn't mean
to steal it. No, now I'm okay with you stealing it now with that story.
Okay. If I didn't have a story, then.
Yeah. And there's so many readings that you can do. I love the book, the movie. There's so many interesting ways that you can interpret it and read it. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's great for kiddos that feel other. And especially yep. ones that are in kind of treatment facilities. So it was a lot. The kids really appreciated it. And they understood it, I think, better than, you know, some of the mm-hmm. other staff that I worked with. But it was fine.
That book, it really struck a chord with me because I read it soon after we moved here. Mm. So a lot of the themes in it resonated with me as somebody who, you know, coming here from Mexico, all of those feelings, being in a private school, but not having private school money. So I got really attached to like the story and the characters. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've reread that thing to death. I mean, I could, mm-hmm. there was a time when I could probably like just tell you the book.
I could still like recite the first paragraph word by word, I think. I've read it so many times. So
I good. Think I'm on like my 12th copy of it somewhere because they just nice. Die.
Yeah. Same
thing. Yeah.
And the Stevie Wonder song in the movie. And
mm-hmm.
oh,
it's all
gosh.
Just so, yeah. So The Outsiders. All right. So my next one, I'm hoping, I know I'm going to steal it from Erin and I'm going to apologize, but I'm hoping it's one of her alternates because we didn't make it to that episode.
I know.
Yet.
I knew this was which I knew you were going to steal this from me. So it's okay. Go ahead.
Nope. I'll skip it.
No, go ahead. No, it's nope. okay. I have so many. I honestly have so many. Go ahead.
Stand By Me. Sorry, Aaron. I think we share a brain on some of these 80s movies.
Yeah, that one's definitely on my list.
Stand By Me is just like, it's so much that coming of age, like, where are you going? What is life? Having, you know, this whole mystery, like, there's a dead kid. Let's go find the dead kid. Like, this is going to be the best thing ever. And just the adventure that they went on was a lot of fun to watch. The leeches scene will always, always be in my brain. Like, that's emblazoned. I went to Honduras with my husband and the kids to go meet his grandmother. And the kids were in a river and all I could think was leeches. And they came back and they're like, we ended up with leeches. I was like, oh God, of course you did. But they were like little itty bitty teeny things. They weren't big scary leeches. But I was like, of course you did. And I'm like not wanting to put my feet in the water because I'm convinced I'm going to die from leeches. It's fine. The whole, I love that adventure kind of story. Kiefer Sutherland was a bag of dicks. I hated his character. Like all of the older brothers were just horrible, horrible humans. Very disgusting. But I love, love, love that movie. So that one. And then I'm going to make a real stretch hard left on everybody. And I'm going to throw out Die Hard. Did I steal yes. that from you too?
You don't know how much I loved Bruce Willis in it. Because Moonlighting was my first like real show that I got into. My first ship was Maddie and David. So I had a huge thing for Bruce Willis. Even though I think he's a dick, I will always have a soft spot for watching him in movies. But that's okay. I have so many. It's just funny to me that we really do share a brain. So
okay. I go with Die Hard, which I continue to argue with people is a Christmas movie, but nobody believes me.
I watch it every Christmas.
It is. Hell yeah. It's a Christmas
movie. Yeah. I just love the sass and the snark in Die Hard. Like, all of it is just ridiculous. It's so over the top. You know, they're doing the break-in. The giant stuffed bear in the limo. The cop who's, like, on the beat, not supposed to be there. You know, like, everything is just ridiculousness. And I love Die Hard. I had to put that one in because Judy stole Dead Poets Society. Because Die Hard was an alternate, but.
See, I almost didn't put Stand By Me down because I knew you would because you were supposed to be on that episode. We will do that episode, I promise. Yeah. Plus, I cannot believe you didn't say how amazing River Phoenix was.
Oh my God.
A gift. Gone I still mourn soon. That loss. Just absolutely one of the greatest actors we have ever, 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 ever had.
Can you imagine?
Oh my, he would have like a shelf of awards and he would just be.
Can't even.
Whew. Well, and I wonder if that's why. One of those movies that yeah. treats young people or kids or young people like people, mm-hmm. like with respect and, you know, it gets an internal view of, you know, the life of 10, 11, 12 year olds. They really did a good job of respecting kids in some of these movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a young John Cusack.
It was just a phenomenal cast.
Yes.
It really was. Yeah.
It was. But yeah, River Phoenix. Oh my gosh, River Phoenix.
Okay. Oh yeah.
Anyway, before I cry about River Phoenix. So yeah, a bunch of mine were taken by both Sasha and Judy. So I'm going through my alternates here.
Look at me just sitting here chilling and not necessarily invading everybody else's. So I just want to say that it is possible, okay?
Well, it was so good for the comedies and then the dramas came along. And I'm going to shout out Born on the 4th of July, which I think is one of the best movies about Vietnam ever. Oliver Stone is problematic as hell. But I love this movie, and I know Tom Cruise is problematic, but I've said it before. I think Tom Cruise is a phenomenal actor, and his performance in this is so, so good. I have a thing about Vietnam movies. It's all because of my dad. My dad was in Vietnam, so I know that's why I have a thing for him. And I love this one. I'm pretty sure I probably saw it with my dad. I don't know. And I know I was too young to probably understand the movie at the time. But it really hit me. It was, I cried a lot. I think the score is amazing. I think it really, really highlights how we treat
our veterans in this country, that we claim that we love people that fight for this country, but really it's just we want people to go off and fight for the country and then we don't give a crap about them. It's just when people get to a certain age, they're disposable to a lot of people. And this, I think, highlights that, especially during Vietnam. That's a lot of what happened. And I know that, you know, vets would come back and people that were hippies and were fighting and were protesting would spit on them, would call them horrible names. And, you know, a lot of people were drafted and didn't choose that. And so it's just, that to me is disgusting. Plus, you're basically going against everything you're supposed to be fighting for. You're fighting for people to come home, but you're going to spit on them when, you know, and it's just, it just really shows the effects of war and how outrageous war is and horrible war is and how we do treat people. But yeah, just the way we treat people, wheelchair users, anything. I mean, the way we treat people who are alcoholics, who have addiction, who have any mental health, anything going on, like he was, any PTSD, anything like that, is just horrible and horrendous. And I think this movie covered all of that very well. So yeah, so I just think it's a great movie. I had a feeling that one would not get taken, and that's why I put it on my alternate list, because I'm like, no one's going to mention this one, so I will put it on there, or probably not. And then I'm going to mention the movie that is like a John Hughes movie, but it is not a John Hughes movie, and that's St. Elmo's Fire. I love St. Elmo's Fire. I think St. Elmo's Fire is amazing. There's a lot of awful things in this, like Emilio Estevez's character is a complete stalker, and it's totally the stalking for trope thing, and he gets rewarded in the end, and it's horrible, I know. And Rob Lowe is a very problematic character, but oh my gosh, did I like Rob Lowe in this movie.
He was just a hot dude. Like,
yep.
It was hard to not forgive a lot of things when you look like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I he played the saxophone, by the way, Carla, in that movie.
Oh, I think you're gonna remind me.
Sorry. I was throwing that out there just because you were raving about it. So I'm like, I'm gonna throw this out there.
You know what? Maybe I'll just unmute it from now on. Like, forget it before you like throw something out there like that, because I say something. Punished for speaking.
And then I'm going to mention a movie that probably not a lot of people have seen or even heard of, and it is a Keanu Reeves movie. It's not River's Edge, which is also a really great Keanu movie. It's this movie called Permanent Record. Has anyone seen this movie? Oh, Sasha has. This is one of the first movies I ever saw that dealt with suicide that I can think of. And it's all about the friends of this guy dealing with the after effects of their friend committing suicide. And there's a whole scene that takes place on the stage, and I can still kind of remember it, where they're doing Pirates of Penzance as the play. And then they kind of break free from that and do a whole song that's basically for him, for the guy who killed himself. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful scene. It's just, I love that movie. That movie made me cry all the time. I had it on VHS. I watched that movie all the time. But it's one of those that not a lot of people know about. So that's why I put it on my list, because I'm like, I am pretty 99.9% positive no one will steal this one. Yep, yep. So those are my three. I have tons that I'm going to try when we do our speed round to fit in, because the majority of mine are actually drama. So, because unlike Carla, I'm drama all the time.
I'm only part-time drama.
Oh my gosh. That's funny.
You know, I can really help it that I'm not drama twin T47.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, well, now we're going to go on to horror, sci-fi, fantasy. I combined these three because I was worried about time.
Because you're cruel?
Yeah. Because I'm cruel. Because I'm dramatic. I wanted to bring in drama. So, Carla, what three are you going to steal from everybody?
No, this I know. Well, actually, okay, I'll tell you when I get there. But there are a lot of things that I had to backlist for the speed round because this is just one of my favorite genres of movies. Okay, so the first one that I know I'm probably going to be stealing from all three of you is Beetlejuice. Because Beetlejuice is a phenomenal movie. It is just, it has just so many amazing things. The cast is perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. There's just, you know, if you think about the cast in this movie, there's not a single person who doesn't absolutely deliver on their role. Michael Keaton, if they've talked about rebooting it or remaking it or whatever the hell they want to call it these days, I'm like, why? This movie is still perfect as it is, you know, like, just go and rewatch it. Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice and there's nobody else who can be Beetlejuice. Winona Ryder was so good in this movie. And there are just so many times when, you know, like, you ever just quote something to yourself in a particular moment and you think to yourself, wow, I'm being really extra right now. And this is me every time I get a little bit lonely and I think to myself, I am alone. Scribble, scribble, scribble. I am utterly alone. it's just one of those perfect movies. And of course, you know, Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin and Catherine O'Hara, who has been one of my favorite actors for about forever, in no small part thanks to this movie, because she's just the epitome of the worst stepmom, of the worst person that you would want to have take over your house and decorate it in just the most ridiculous style. It's you know, Moira Rose is in some ways is like a toned down Delia.
Catherine O'Hara is just so good at those over-the-top yes. characters. Like, if you've seen her even in those mockumentaries, she's done a couple
yeah.
of those. I mean, they're all just perfection, and she's just so good at
she's
that
amazing.
Over-the-top. I love her.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing. And of course, you have the scene where the spirits take them over. They sing Deo by Harry Belafonte at the dinner table. I can't even tell you how many times I watched that scene, just that scene, for one thing, because I love that song, but then for another thing, because it's just a delightful scene, and then it ends, and the ghosts and Lydia are like, yeah, we got him, and the adults are like, that was really awesome, let's capitalize on this, and it's like, no, damn it, that's not the point, but it's just great, it's great. Back to the Future, which has already been mentioned, I know, but it bears repeating. It's an awesome movie. The premise of it is fantastic. I mean, not so much the whole, oh, he's going to screw his mom, you know, danger thing. And that part you could do without. Like, I was not a particularly quick to get things kid. I was a little bit, oh, yeah. I was a little bit not, like, great at getting some things. But even I was like, wait, this makes me very uncomfortable. Like, no, mom of his, don't kiss him. That's just really gross. But even besides that, the Michael J. Fox was an amazing mix of adorable and irreverent, hilarious, likable, and a very believable duck out of water in every situation that he's in. There was like pretty much no situation in that movie in which he didn't feel like he stuck out like a sore thumb. And it really comes across. Like, you can really buy that he has this friendship with this super old science dude. Again, okay, Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown, another crush, okay? Like, I was like, oh, this guy is cute with his science stuff and his like, goggles. Oh, yeah. Tell me more about him. But, yeah. So, yeah. Another science dad role. I don't know.
What can I'm going to get you a hot scientist calendar.
Hot microbiologist.
Brown. That one's a good one.
Yes, yes. Give me all the hot scientists you can find. But yeah, it's a pretty perfect movie. I think I love the whole trilogy. The third one is probably my favorite, but you can't, for nostalgia and just for enjoyment, you just for sheer joy and pleasure, you can't beat the first one. And then the last one that I'll mention is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, which this movie, it's like there's exactly one moment in it that I find utterly problematic that I wish were exercised out. And that's where they use a really homophobic slur, because they have like this moment where like they each think that the other is dead, and then it's like, oh no, my best friend. And then they find each other. Hey, you're not dead. You're not dead. And then they hug, and then they like shove each other aside and say it. And it's like, oh, you had to ruin like a perfect movie. Because other than that, if they could just like, you know, go in there with like, you know, 2021 magic and just take that out somehow.
Like when they edited the guns out of E.T.
Which is like, okay, come on. Like, come on. But yeah, this movie, it's two best buds traveling through time. And they meet this rando called Rufus, and they totally trust him. They get into this phone booth. Like, sure, dude, no problem. I totally have no issue. And then they meet their future selves, and they're like, whoa. It's just, it's one of my favorite conversations. It has so much depth and gravitas.
All the woes.
Just that. All the woes. It's just amazing. It's that between
and the dudes.
Ted and Neo are from The Matrix are my two favorite Keanu Reeves roles, just that I can think of off the top of my head. But it just, he's so perfect as Ted. And it's just so much fun. And you have all of these, you know, historical figures coming in and out. Joan of Arc exercising at the mall. And Napoleon getting upset at the water park. He wants, like, he's terrified to go down the slide, and then suddenly he's like shoving kids aside so that he can slide down. That just feels very Napoleonic. He would totally do that. You could just sense that he was like that kind of douche to be like, I hate this. I will not do this. And then suddenly, it is my favorite thing. Child, step aside. I am the great Napoleon. Just feel lucky that you were tall enough to ride it in the first place, man. Okay. Just give somebody else a turn at the slide. But it's a lovely premise. I love that movie.
Didn't they kept calling Socrates like Socrates or something?
Socrates.
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 I haven't seen it in a while, but I agree. It's a great movie.
I'm glad the other Aaron's not here. She does not like Keanu Reeves, and so she'd be in and out. We are going to do a whole month at some point for Keanu Reeves. I don't know. I just kind of felt like that. Yeah. I don't know if it'll be next year or the year after that, but it'll happen at some point. And Judy, were any of yours stolen?
Not my top three. Although I did have Beetlejuice in the comedy category. So that was, yeah. So one of them is Indiana Jones. Oh my gosh, did I have a crush on young Harrison Ford? The original movie, two, meh. But the first Indiana Jones is so good. It's just so much fun. It's another one of those ones that's infinitely rewatchable. I love those adventure kind of movies where they're just going on a quest of some kind. And Indiana Jones's leading lady in the first one was terrific. She was capable and funny and snarky in her own right. So she was terrific. Yeah, I just love the whole Indiana Jones franchise. Some are certainly better than others, and we pretend that four didn't happen. But those one and three were just both completely amazing. And we watched Indiana Jones like so much. That was one of those ones that we like watched over and over again. And I'll never forget, my cousin had a birthday party during like the peak of the Indiana Jones time. And he was a couple years younger than me, so it was probably like his 8th or 9th birthday party. And his mother decided to have like a little scavenger hunt around the yard for it. And I remember all the kids, like they thought they were Indiana Jones because of this thing. And his one little best friend wore head to toe his Indiana Jones costume. And he kept going around telling all the adults, I really like this because I'm very into archaeology. Just so serious about it. So yeah, Indiana Jones, great memories for more than just the movie, but other reasons too. The next one on my list is Princess Bride, which is not just my favorite fantasy, but is my all-time favorite movie. I just love it to death. Every line in there is just quotable. Yeah, like it just, everything hits just great quote after quote and comedy after comedy. So I just love that. Carrie Elwes, and that's another one with the perfect cast. You know, just everyone in there, Andre the Giant, and all of them. So, so great. And then the third one was tough because I definitely got several alternates in this category, but I'm going to go with Willow, which is probably not surprising with as much as I love Princess Bride. It is very Princess Bride-ish. Yeah, it's another one of those adventure fantasy. Well, I'm definitely sensing a theme here between Indiana Jones, Princess Bride, and Willow.
Mm-hmm. No, I stole the baby! Yeah.
You stupid daikini!
We use I stole the baby for everything. Yeah. Yeah, in our house, that is the go-to whatever happened. If something's missing, whatever it is, we're always like, I stole the baby!
I love it. Yeah, a lot of these 80s movies, because we all watch them with our families and stuff, we have so many little inside jokes with our families with them. And that's part of the fun of a lot of these, when I can quote them with my family and everybody gets the inside joke. Yep, well, it was another one. Loved it to death. And again, I'm definitely sensing a theme with me and fantasy, character movies.
And Val Kilmer was my favorite actor.
He was awesome in that.
Years and years and years and years. And go watch that documentary, Val, on Amazon.
I do need to watch it, yeah.
Oh, it is so good. Oh, my gosh. The thing that struck me the most about that is how much he loves his kids. It's really beautiful. The person who narrates and narrates, it's actually his son. But he just has such a beautiful relationship with his kids. And it's just, I love it. Go watch that. Yeah. Cool. And Sasha, I know that Judy stole some of yours. Did Carla steal some of yours too?
It's fine. Unfortunately, Erin, I'm going to steal one of yours that I did not know I was stealing until you mentioned it on your birthday stream last night, because it's a movie that nobody ever knows, and that's Legend.
That's not on my list, actually, of my top three.
Okay. So first of all, let me tell you, I was really salty about that it was sci-fi, horror, and fantasy, like, all together, because I was like, they're their own thing. So I kind of picked one from each. So for my fantasy one is Legend. And it's really, Tim Curry again? I don't know. It's like, darkness. Come on. Mm-hmm. When he steps out of that mirror and she puts on that gown, holy shitballs, Batman. Like, what is happening? Oh. I love that. I just, not a lot of people know Legend. If they've True. Seen it, they're like, oh, maybe I've seen it. I don't know. Whatever. It's kind of a lesser known one, but I absolutely love, love, love that movie.
I was so scared of that movie. I don't know why it terrified me.
It's got scary. I mean, Tim Curry is terrifying. He's scary. Yeah. I mean, really.
Yeah. Darkness.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Darkness is terrifying. The guys, his minions that are going after her trying to get to the unicorn, like the one Blix, who's like, what is it, maybe innocent, maybe sweet, ain't half as nice as rotting meat, and the black as pitch, blacker than the foulest witch, like everything he says is like, damn. Wow. Damn. But I mean, they're darkness, right?
Well, to me, when I watched it, because I had watched The Neverending Story, mm-hmm. and so it was like, oh, Legend. And it just initially it felt like Neverending Story after dark.
I can see that. I can
and
see
it
that.
Was terrifying. And the Neverending Story was already scary, but this took it to 52nd level beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever rewatched it because I just vividly remember being just like noping out.
Neverending Story after dark. Sorry.
I mean, you're not wrong. All right. My horror movie, which is not going to be a surprise to anybody, is going to be The Lost Boys.
Damn you.
I know.
I knew, but I knew it was going to happen. What am I?
So it's. Sorry, Aaron. Yeah, that's my horror movie is The Lost Boys, because that was like, I mean, come on. The bad boy vibe is just like there. The Coreys, you know, it had, that's another one with a stellar cast.
It's the one that has quintessential 80s.
Right? The soundtrack is freaking phenomenal.
The saxophone scene.
Okay, can we talk about that? Like, anytime you see that image, you can hear the song.
Very girl.
You hear the song. Like, and there was no reason for him to be that covered in baby oil. Like, what the hell? Yes, the so, Lost Boys.
He kept the vampires off
everybody's
of
hair.
Oh, the hair.
The clothes, slick. The hair, the earrings, everything.
Yeah, it was... Love that one.
That was just good prevention on his part.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. It's hard to grab you when you're oiled up. You slip through your fingers. It's fine. I'm with you. I got you. I got you. And then for sci-fi, I'm going to go classic Ghostbusters. Just because, you know, I mean, it's the Ghostbusters. Like, who are you going to call? And Aaron's making face.
I love how sci-fi.
Aaron's about to disconnect you.
I know. And Sasha no longer gets to play on the podcast.
It's on my list. It's in my comedy category.
Yeah, so it's just, again, it's that, like, the 80s comedy, like you were talking about Steve Martin, you know, it's Dan Aykroyd, you know, Bill Murray, like, all of those guys were just iconic figures. And yeah, Ghostbusters could go comedy, but I put it sci-fi is where I kind of classified it, just because ghosts and, I mean, yeah. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and, like, just the ridiculousness over the top of it all, I love it. So, yeah.
And Carla's boyfriend, Rick Moranis.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We cannot forget about
the
him.
Best part of the movie.
He'll be October.
Nerdy
for the
scientist.
Month of October.
That must be your jam.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
The whole 80s was just my playground.
The Fly, Jeff Goldblum.
Don't even get me started on Jeff Goldblum and The Fly.
There's a gorgeous scientist from Oof. The. Oof.
I need
that
a
was one of the
five.
First rated R movies I think I saw.
Careful, that might have been on Aaron's list.
Oh, sorry.
It's not on her list because I took all the ones that were already there.
Okay.
And it wasn't on mine, so we're good. All right.
This one was hard for me because I'm not a big sci-fi fantasy person, honestly. I mean, the exception of some of the ones that were mentioned. I remember seeing, I want to share a quick story about Princess Bride, because I remember seeing Princess Bride in the theater, and they had this group of actors performing right before it started. It was the coolest, it was such a cool experience. So yeah, it will always stick in my mind, because that was actually a box office failure, that movie. That movie became more of a hit later on, but yeah, I just wanted to share that. And also just for when you said the intermission thing earlier, I meant to tell you, Judy, I went and saw... I know this musical is horribly problematic, but it's one of my favorite musicals in the whole entire world. I can recite every single line from every single song in Oklahoma. And
it's the first one I saw.
Oh my gosh. And they like revived it in the theaters or something. And I saw it in the theater, a theater that is now like an electronic store or something. And they had an intermission, of course, because they have the intermission in the, yeah. So, and that was like the coolest experience. I was like, this is so awesome.
Getting up and walking out, theater, stretching your legs. It was just so unique and different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like I was at the theater or something, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. Well, so I kind of stuck with horror a little bit, and I'm not going to mention the ones that we covered
and that we did episodes on, like Nightmare on Elm Street, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to try and talk about ones that are a little bit Poltergeist. I have mentioned this one, though, on our Stephen King one, but I'm going to mention it again. Christine. I think Christine is one of the best Stephen King adaptations. I think it's better than the book. I think John Carpenter did an amazing job. John Carpenter is a master of horror, just like Wes Craven was. And I think it takes a lot to make a car super, super creepy and feel like the car is alive and the car has a personality. And he did that. He did that. And it was just an interesting story. And just the scene that always sticks out the most to me is when Arnie is finally realizing that probably that his car is like possessed and can rebuild itself and can kill people and all that stuff. And he stands there in the garage and he's like, show me. And she's like showing, she really was a living thing, but that's the way you feel about her. And then she starts to rebuild herself and the lights come on and you watch him and it's almost like watching somebody fall in love. It's really, the performance is amazing, the way it's shot, the way the headlights light him. It's just absolutely creepy and beautiful. And I love that movie. I will defend that movie forever and ever because I know a lot of people don't like that one, but I think it is absolutely phenomenal. Fright Night, I think, is one of the best vampire movies ever made. So since The Lost Boys got taken, I will mention Fright Night because that is, I think, it's kind of tied with The Lost Boys. I think Fright Night is scarier than The Lost Boys was. The Lost Boys to me wasn't as scary. It was more like a teen movie, but that one's great. Chris Sarandon is really, really good in Fright Night. And I actually think Fright Night 2 is not that bad. So that's a good one. And I actually don't mind the remake of Fright Night because, well, Colin Farrell can bite me anytime he wants to. So, I mean,
it's a very good criteria to have. I'll say that. Yes.
Yeah. And I want to say with The Lost Boys, and I said this last night, I've said it before, but I was so obsessed with that movie and I wore that soundtrack out. I actually got to see it at Red Rocks this past summer, which was so awesome to see it again on the big screen. I sent pictures of the saxophone player to Carla. She loved that.
You know, like all of this unsolicited sax.
Nice.
But I had the poster above my bed and it was, and
of the
I
sax went, one? Weird.
No, not the sax.
Very specific, Erin.
The movie poster, the side. That would be weird. But I had that above my bed. God. And I loved Kiefer Sutherland, but I also loved Jason Patrick. Oh, God, I love Jason Patrick. You should go listen, Sasha. There is an interview with Kiefer Sutherland and Jason Patrick on Inside of You. A podcast Inside of You. It is an amazing, because Jason Patrick doesn't do a lot of interviews and they were best friends for a long time. And then they kind of parted ways a little bit when, you know, the Julia Roberts thing, which they sort of mentioned, they don't really want to talk about it, but they kind of mention it, but it's really great because they talk a little bit about The Lost Boys and they talk about their friendship and it's really good. And you learn, you know, Jackie Gleason was a total complete scumbag. Cause if you didn't know, that was Jason Patrick's, like grandfather or something. And he like basically didn't care about his family and kind of just left them destitute. But yeah, but it's a really, really good interview. So definitely listen to that. So I had to throw it out there. It's called Inside of You is the podcast.
Perfect.
So yeah, listen to that. And then I am going to shout out this movie that I don't know if anyone else on our panel has seen, but I was kind of obsessed with this horror movie and I don't know why. Well, I kind of do, but Waxwork. Did anyone ever see Waxwork? Sasha did. Oh my God, I love this movie. It's all about, I mean, it's really bad. I mean, I don't know if you've watched it recently, vampire Sasha. Scene? What?
The vampire scene?
Oh my God. Oh God. Oh God. And then the Marquis de Sade scene. Oh God.
And Judy and Carla are both looking at us like,
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Man. I totally get that reference. Totally. These are words I know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. My kink was already there when I was a young teen. I watched this movie so many times. This is a movie about a group of spoiled rich kids. That's kind of what I got the gathering of. And they go to a waxwork after hours. And what happens after hours is the waxwork things come to life. And so people enter the display because, like, the little, you know, thing goes down. And they enter it and there's, like, werewolves and other things. And the vampire thing is super sexy. Oh, my God. And then they have a Marquis de Sade. So that's super sexy as well. And it's a lot of women getting off. I mean, honestly, that's a lot of what this movie is about. This movie is so sexual and so much sexuality in it that I don't think I got it as much the first time I saw it. And then I kept watching it and as I was older. But if you watch it now, Sasha, it's not necessarily as great as it was. But it holds a special place in my heart because it awakened things inside of me. I didn't know we're there.
Oh, I'm totally with you. I think I watched it. I want to say I watched it recently, like within the last 2 years, and was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember it being so much better. And so I'm just going to stick with the version in my head and don't watch the remake, which has Carla's new character of Jared Padalecki.
I did watch the remake and I was like, this is nothing like the
best part of that is Paris Hilton gets killed.
Yes.
In a very graphic kind of way.
And that's why Paris Hilton was on that episode of Supernatural, because she had filmed that.
Yeah.
So House of Wax was a remake?
It pretty much. No, House of Wax was a remake of the really old House of Wax.
Oh, okay.
Waxwork, but it's similar to Waxwork.
But it's similar, except Waxwork had such this sexual undertone to it
that's true
was very different from a lot of the movies around that time. Honestly, I think it was. And there's the scene, the vampire scene. They're all sitting there and they're eating steak tartare, which isn't steak. It's a guy's piece of the guy's leg later. But it's like this, at first it's very sexual and then it's really gross because they're just like getting and it's dripping down their mouths. And sorry, I'm sure you all wanted me to describe this.
Well, you got, what's his name from Gremlins?
Zach Galligan. He looks weird.
I missed so many horror movies in the 80s because I was a big baby. I mean, I remember going to see Dragon Slayer in the theater, and I barely got through the credits and was crying in head leaf. And literally nothing happened. Like a guy walks into a cave and I was crying in head leaf.
I watched horror my gosh. Like
I started food. To like towards the end of the 80s, but there were so many of like the good late 70s, early 80s ones that I just missed. And I really need to go back and like watch all of these classics.
Well, I'm not saying you should watch Waxwork at all. But I loved it. I watched that like a really embarrassing number of times. I have seen this movie. But yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to briefly touch on John Hughes only because John Hughes to me is very 80s. And we already did an episode on John Hughes last year around this same time. And so we won't talk about him too much just because of time. And I want to give people a chance to shout out things. But I just want to know, Carla, do you like John Hughes movies? And do you have like a favorite John Hughes movie? Or
I mean, not especially. He, a lot of the movies that he did, I just wasn't really into. The ones that I did like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was one that I really enjoyed. I watched it with my parents and, you know, just nice memories of watching it with them. Weird Science, which is for some reason one of like my favorite of his films, even though it is deeply, deeply, deeply problematic, which I can see now, but I couldn't back then, because back then it was just, you know, like it just looked like fun. Like you can bring somebody to life in your computer, not really thinking of the implications of it. But definitely my favorite John Hughes movie is Uncle Buck. That one just, I love that so much. I love the image of John Candy flipping over that massive pancake. And I remember the kids, I remember their names were Miles and Maisie, and I remember they were super adorable, and I loved them so much. And just that's one of my favorite roles of John Candy.
Oh, that was it.
Yes, believe it or not, I'm shutting up now.
Judy, did you like John Hughes?
I did. And in fact, I have Breakfast Club on my alternate list. It was tough not to pick that for one of the dramas because I love Breakfast Club. Yeah, definitely has some problematic stuff. And we can talk about that. But yeah, I loved a lot of his stuff and the Molly Ringwald movies, the 16 Candles, all that super problematic, you know, teenage movies. But also, you know, growing up in that time, it kind of felt somewhat relatable. I mean, they definitely had better or more fun lives than I did. I was sitting at home on Friday night watching a movie about them going to parties. But yeah, I loved it. Again, I love The Breakfast Club, that whole famous scene in The Breakfast Club where they're all sitting around talking about the problems with being each of the stereotypes that they fall into is just a really cool microscope on the cliques of the 80s. It was a very, very cliquish time. Yeah, so I like John Hughes movies, and I recognize that there are some issues, but I love them anyway, and Breakfast Club is one that I can watch over and over again. The funniest thing about Breakfast Club, though, is a few years ago, I watched it probably for the first time in years. Like, I had watched it lots whenever I was younger and then hadn't watched it in a while, watched it, and I'm like, I know I'm getting old, because I found myself sometimes siding with the principal. Like, just shut up and sit down, you know? Yes. Just listen to him. What are you doing?
The man has a point.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's a sign of age. But I watched it again more recently and was like, okay, yeah, that principal really was very problem. He was definitely a bad principal. But as you get older, you could definitely relate a little more to the adult characters in there and understand, as you're raising your own teenagers, how obnoxious they can be.
And Sasha?
John Hughes owned my youth. And
me too.
Yes. Problematic in a variety of ways. The movies, they're dated. They did not age. A bunch of them didn't age well. I will always love them. I will overlook their flaws because I love them. Breakfast Club is definitely my all-time favorite. I think every boy I ever dated was John Bender. That was my type.
Same.
I was a sucker for the Benders, and it didn't always work out well, but that was my thing. I probably should have gone for science nerds.
I know, I'm like...
They're cute, but they're not date material.
Yeah, it was problematic. And then Carla mentioned Weird Science, and I have a quick Weird Science story because they were also at Denver Comic Con several years ago. My husband is a board game designer for fun, but he runs them at conventions. And so lots of people know him and they know his games. He's got one that he does that's kind of based on pod racing from Star Wars. And so it's a really big one. And Elon Mitchell Smith, who plays Wyatt in Weird Science, came down and was looking at the game with his handler. And they were like talking, and he's talking to my husband. He's like, oh, this is super cool. You know, I'd like to get more information about it, whatever. And my husband does this all the time where he goes, I'm never on social media. I don't do any of that. Just get in touch with my wife, go through her. So I will have random people send me friend requests or send me messages. And they're like, oh, I met your husband. I'm like, whatever. So Elon Mitchell Smith is like, I really like this game. Like, I'd like to talk to you about it, whatever. And so he's giving him this spiel. He's like, well, here, just take my wife's phone number. So I gave him my phone number and was like, he walked away. And I go, 12-year-old Sasha's freaking the fuck out.
He was so cute.
He never called.
That I had a crush on.
Yeah, he never called. But I was just like, 12-year-old me was dying. So I was like, did I really just give Oh my God, what is happening?
43-year-old me is dying.
It was a very bizarre, surreal moment. So.
Well, same as Sasha, John Hughes was my life, my world. I wanted to be Molly Ringwald. I didn't just love her. I wanted to be her when I was a teenager. I still have memories of seeing Pretty in Pink on Easter. I remember exactly when I saw that movie. Love that movie. His stuff is very, very, very problematic. We mentioned on My So-Called Life that because Brian Krakow is a total stalker, we mentioned how he does some stuff that actually Ducky did in Pretty in Pink. And Ducky was a complete stalker, not a healthy character at all. That was originally who she was supposed to end up with, in case you didn't know that. But they changed that ending, which I was perfectly fine with them changing that ending. I know others aren't. But then John Hughes went and wrote Some Kind of Wonderful, because he didn't like the fact that the director changed that ending. So he did that so that, you know, the geeky girl this time could get the guy. So just in case you didn't know that. And I love Some Kind of Wonderful. I don't love it as much as Pretty in Pink. Breakfast Club is one of my all-time top 10 favorite movies ever. Just like Sasha, John Bender. Oh my gosh. And he was not a good guy. You watch it now. The stuff he does is really gross and disgusting. But whoo, did I love him. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that bad boy that has a heart of gold in there somewhere. And you're just going to find it. And you're going to fix him. And you're going to love him forever. And
okay, so there was this tweet that I saw recently that said something like 15-year-old me, I can fix him. And then, you know, however old me, I can't fix him, but I want him anyway.
That's me. That's I mean, all you had to do was, you know, change it, just give him a leather jacket, cut his hair, be black. Maybe he has some eyeliner on, and that's my ideal. And, you know, that was just always the case for me. So I loved him, and I know it was problematic, but I still love him. Even though I know he is horrible, I still love him.
I do too. I'm right there with you.
Yep, I watched the movie today, and again, I'm like, listen to the principal, but I do love the character.
Listen to the principal.
Don't get yourself more detentions.
But I always want to shout out, when I'm talking about John Hughes, a movie that nobody talks about ever, and that's She's Having a Baby with Kevin Bacon. I love this movie. It's problematic as well, but it's more of a grown-up movie. It's about a character moving to the suburbs. There's great scenes in the suburbs. And I love Kevin Bacon a lot. I think he's funny. He's funny to follow on social media, by the way. He has a pit bull, so that always makes me love someone more. I know that's not a sole reason to love somebody, but it does give them extra points. And I like that he laughs at himself and he can joke around with the whole 6 degrees thing, which he didn't like at first, but he likes it now. And I love him. So I want to give a shout out to that. And I also love the soundtrack for that one as well. So yeah,
I'm just glad that nobody mentioned Ferris Bueller. Because I hate that movie so much.
That's on my list. I love that one.
I love when the movie first came out, I was like, these kids are rude. They are obnoxious.
They are. But I was very close to picking that over Goonies. Very close. It was almost a tie. I know.
I hate it because it just made something in me just completely. It was just like, I found it so revolting that they could be so disrespectful. Just, you know, and of course for me, the idea of skipping school was what? Why would you skip school on purpose? But senior skip day, I seriously checked with my school to see if it would count as an excused absence. Because I was like, if it doesn't, then I'm coming. I don't care if I'm the only senior in the school, I'm coming if it's not an excuse absence.
To this day, if I'm in the store and I'm buying sausage, I in my head I'm like, Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago. I love it so much.
Carla, I think you are the only other person I've ever met that doesn't like that movie. Because I don't like it either. For different reasons. I think Matthew Broderick is incredibly annoying. I'm not a fan of his.
Oh, you just lost another fan now.
Matt, I know. Listen to her. Some of us love you.
Yes, right.
Another person I'll never have on the podcast.
He's shutting his laptop right now.
Maybe he'll be eager to come on your show to explain himself. And it'll just be like, and our guest tonight is Matthew Broderick. Matthew Broderick, explain yourself.
Explain yourself. That's what I'm going to do with the actors that I don't like if they come on here. Yeah. Jared Padaletto, explain yourself.
Oh, wow. That's a can of worms right there.
Well, Carla came up with that when we did one of our live streams.
By complete accident. And
by accident, she said Jared Padaletto instead of Jared Leto. So she combined.
I combined the two most obnoxious like actors on the planet who both happen to be named Jared.
That's so
imagine
funny.
That.
That was so funny. So yeah, that's what I'll do. And I do not like Sarah Jessica Parker either. So I don't like that couple. There's another. I've lost the rest of my panel. So we, except for Carla. Carla and I are now like.
Yeah, I'm in your good graces for the next 5 minutes until I say something else that like gets me banned from your, you know, top tier or whatever.
You're my top tier. No, you're always in my top tier.
Yay!
Sometimes you go down a peg, but
I'll take it.
What we're gonna do is we're gonna do a speed round. So we're just gonna keep going around. People can name three more movies, and we'll just keep doing it till I say time. I'll decide when we're done.
Wait, so we do three at a time?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And we're just doing it speed round. So, Carla.
The Princess Bride, Goonies, Annie.
Judy.
Ooh, A Christmas Story, 9 to 5, and Airplane.
Sasha.
Teen Wolf, Flight of the Navigator, and Inner Space.
Okay, Caddyshack. I know it's trouble. Three Men and a Baby, Spinal Tap.
Footloose, The New Adventures of Pippi Longstocking, Short Circuit.
Okay, Tootsie, When Harry Met Sally. And I'm going to throw a curveball here, but I love this movie. The Gods Must Be Crazy. Has anybody else seen it?
Yes.
Okay, good. I thought like nobody else had seen it.
Forgot all about that movie.
I haven't seen it in a long time and it may not hold up, but my God, did we love it.
I'm going to go Dark and Twisty, Scarface, Fatal Attraction, and then Stand and Deliver.
Working Girl, 9 to 5, Flashdance.
E.T., Young Guns, Supergirl.
My God. God, about Young Guns.
Yes.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
Because Young Guns 2 is better, but that's 90s.
It is better, but yeah.
Let's see. Major League. Oh, yeah. Problematic, but fun. Love it. The Gods Must Be Crazy. Oh, wait, no, I said that one already. Romancing the Stone. Mm-hmm. I loved that one. And Terms of Endearment. Which still breaks my heart every time.
Teen Wolf, Steel Magnolias, and Karate Kid.
Cousins, which I don't know if anyone else has seen that movie. I watched it this morning. Mystic Pizza, which I love. Maximum Overdrive.
Oh my God, I love that movie! Okay, I only have two left.
Okay.
Naked Gun and Heathers.
Naked Gun. And Heathers, of course. Yes.
I've got The Color Purple. Aliens, and this is another oddball, but I have to just make a shout out, the original Clash of the Titans.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I've watched it probably 100 times because I took 4 years of Latin in school, and every time my teacher didn't feel like teaching, we watched Clash of the Titans.
It's the one with the owl, right?
Yes, the stop motion with Harry Hamlin.
Yep. all right, I've got, this might be cheating because I'm going to do like series. So the Lethal Weapon movies and the National Lampoon movies, like, you know, Christmas and all of that. So yeah, and Top Gun.
Oh God, yeah, Top Gun. That's a good one.
The volleyball scene.
Yeah,
weird that it has any right to be. Like it shouldn't be nearly as good as it is.
Yeah, I agree. And I still can't wait to see the next one. I'm excited.
Same. I was so disappointed when COVID. Yeah.
Real genius.
Oh yeah.
Dream a little dream. I know people think this movie is trash. I don't care. I love this movie.
I love it too.
Oh yay! I've never met anyone else who loves this movie.
So. I love it.
That was then. This is now. So it's a lesser known Outsiders. Yeah. With Craig Schaefer, who was someone that I adored. Yep. So you're all done with your list, Carla?
No, I no, because I had a whole other section that I just didn't scroll down to.
Okay.
But it's that was only three movies. But okay, so it's Little Shop of Horrors, Labyrinth, and La Bamba.
Oh yes, yes.
Okay, I'm just about out, but my last three, I'm going to go back to my Steve Martin list and just list some of my favorite Steve Martin 80s ones. So we've got Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Father of the Bride, Parenthood, Three Amigos, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah, Parenthood and Father of the Bride is the movie I watch, used to be the movie I would watch whenever I was really depressed. That was my go-to was Father of the Bride. Yeah.
Parenthood is one of those.
Parenthood is, I love Parenthood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my last three are going to be Footloose, Rocky, and RoboCop, which is a weird combo.
RoboCop!
I've never watched RoboCop.
Me either.
I watched it when it came out, which was a bad thing, because I was like 9 or 10.
That's funny.
And maybe that's why I never saw it. I might have been too young. I'm not sure. But yep, never seen it.
Go watch it.
I haven't seen it either, so
go watch it.
I know it's another one that's better than it should be. Like it sounds like a dumb premise.
I'm traumatized and I can never ever watch it again.
Really?
Okay. Again, I was 9 or 10 when I watched the super violent movie.
I have a bunch, but I'm just gonna name three more. This movie Warlock, it's another horror. You've seen it. Okay. Yes. I love that movie. there was actually a sequel. I don't think I've actually seen it. Watership Down, which is one of the few animated films that I love. And that's one of the reasons I'm afraid of bunnies, because there's evil bunnies in there. I actually don't think kids should watch that movie, honestly. it's really dark.
That is not a children's movie.
No, it is so dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Field of Dreams. One of the only Kevin Costner movies I like. I don't like Kevin Costner. So. That's another person we'll never on here. Plus a young Ray Liotta.
But that'll be a whole separate podcast called Explain Yourself.
I don't want to start this. I'm writing this down. Explain Yourself. So we're going to go ahead and close out and go around and have everybody say where they can be found. Carla.
Thank you, Erin. I can be found on my podcast, Bedwet or Behead Podcast, which I co-host with Meg. And you can find us on Twitter at BedwetBeheadPod, on Instagram at bed.wet.behead.pod. You can find our podcast everywhere where you can download fantastic, fabulous, wonderful, excellent podcast content. And if you, for some reason, want to go on Facebook, I guess, just look for Bedwet or Behead Podcast.
Awesome. And Judy.
Yep. I am on Tumblr at Angels Watching Over, all one word. And Instagram, it's not like fandom stuff. It's just pictures of me that I like. And that is Ballroom Blitz Geek.
Awesome. Thank you. And Sasha.
Yep. You can find me on Instagram. Same as Judy. It's just a bunch of random crap. Vegan Geek Chick.
Thank you. And it'll lead to your dog as well. You didn't say that this time.
Oh, yes. And it will lead to my obnoxious demon dog.
Awesome. And this is Erin. You can follow me on Twitter at EAprilBeauty. The E and the A and the B are capitalized. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram at itsafandomthingpod. On TikTok at itsafandomthingpod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you would like to be a guest and explain yourself, reach out to us at contact the show at itsafandomthingpod@gmail.com. And the next episode, we are going back to the 80s still, and we are going to be talking about 80s music. We already recorded this one. It's a lot of fun, ton of fun. This has been a lot of fun. I'm just going to keep saying a lot of fun, I guess.
I mean, the 80s were a fun decade. Like, there was some fun stuff, the colors, yes, the hair. Like, how can you just not laugh?
I think you should say that these episodes have been rad.
Oh, that's better.
Totally,
yes.
Awesome.
Totally tubular.
Totally rad. Totally tubular. Bitchin'. Yes. But we will have to at some point do this longer, like a month of the 80s or something like that, because this has been a blast. And I'm thinking we might even do the 90s, because I think that might be one too. 90s music and 90s movies as well. So, yeah.
Now I want to go rewatch all these 80s movies.
I
got to find Roxanne.
I know. I got to go. You got to go watch Waxwork. I'm just kidding, everybody.
I'm going to stay shrouded in a mystery when it comes to that one. Thank you so much.
Go watch RoboCop.
Okay, RoboCop.
Yeah, I've
watched RoboCop. That I can probably find.
Right. We both have to watch RoboCop. That's right. And also, since this is dropping Wednesday, tomorrow night we are continuing our live tweets and live streams for the new season of Dexter. If you know anything, you know I've given every episode a 4.5 out of 5 because I want to give them all fives, but Carla and Jen from my streaming bubble are trying to keep me grounded.
And failing, if you can tell.
And failing, because like I made them say, how do you rate Michael C. Hall's performance out of 10 out of 10? You can't rate it lower than 10, except for his hair. His hair is absolutely atrocious. One of the worst things I've ever seen.
Explain yourself.
Exactly.
And that's how you do a callback.
That's awesome. Yep. When I have Michael C. Hall on, even though I love him and I'll gush over him, I will sneak that in there. So Michael C. Hall, explain yourself with your hair. And then all of a sudden he disappears from the stream. But those start at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. That's 6 Pacific, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. That's when the tweets start. And then at 8:15 Mountain Standard Time, head on over to our YouTube channel for the live streams. They've been a ton of fun. Jen, my podcast brain twin, is back. She was on most of the American Horror Story ones. And Carla joined our last one, our Thanksgiving one. So I know sometimes it's too late, so she doesn't come and hop on, but hopefully she'll be on. We have Dexter. She's we have a Dexter bingo card and everything. And they're so much fun. We spoil everything though on those. So be warned. And then coming really soon, we'll have our special Dexter episode as well, just talking more in depth about the show and not as goofy and silly and not as much talk probably about his hair, but we shall see.
So I'm not going to be on that one?
No, you are on that one. It's you and Jen, so it probably will come up.
And the mouth breathing. Hair. Don't forget the mouth breathing.
Look up his hair and the mouth breathing. That's, both you and Jen bring it up, so... It's there regardless. But until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.